Well, you know, you've talked a lot about the value of meditation. In fact, you said that meditation can possibly push you two levels in your stages of development.
Yes.
So first of all, I'm curious, you know, why two levels and not three levels?
Right.
How long does it take
right.
to be able to progress these two levels? And this is a pretty huge promise to lay out there.
Yeah, it's actually fascinating. And there's a fair amount of research on it. And I mentioned Skip Alexander, who is a real genius and a real pioneer in this. And I still recommend looking at his work. We're still, nonetheless, at a kind of early stage of mapping this. And what we're trying to map out is in what I would call the upper left and the upper right quadrant, meaning the upper left is the interior of an individual, my interior mental states and consciousness states, and how they correlate with the exterior brain, physical, sensory motor, material aspects. So mental states and brain states are correlated. They can't be reduced to each other, and they don't, you know, they're not lockstep causing each other, but they're correlated. They influence each other. So as we continue to sophisticate our mapping of mental states with brain states, I think the amount of information is going to be really extraordinary. Now, we've also done research with stage conceptions. And this is where it sort of talks about the two levels. But again, it's all pioneering. It's all early. But what happens is you take any number of valid measurements of growth and development, or we call them developmental lines, whether Jane Lovinger or Claire Graves or Kohlberg and so on, and you take a group of people meditating, and you give them these measurements before, during, and after, and you see if there's any actual vertical growth on the scale. You have to preface that by saying that in the average adult human being, again, roughly ages 25 to 55, there's just no growth at all. It's just very hard. There are exceptions, but for the average person, there's just not much vertical growth going on. And you can put people through psychotherapy and role-playing, almost any number of things have been tried, and no real vertical growth has occurred.
I just had a quick question about that. Do you think it's because people are either raising kids or trying to make money, and that both of those things are just so time-consuming that you can't really do anything except make
all
peace with where you're at?
All of the above. But if you take people that are doing what you just said, and they meditate about an hour a day, then about 4 years later, they're two stages higher on any scale we give them. Meditation is the only thing that's been empirically demonstrated to vertically move people to that degree. Now, again, that's a very generalized statement. Not everybody does that. Different meditations do different things. You get different results if you use different measurement scales. But a lot of things have been measured. For all the things we were saying, from psychotherapy to role-playing to various types of educational experiences to journaling, dialoguing, all this kind of stuff, it's usually the most you get on any statistical analysis is a movement of maybe 0.5 stages. In other words, it's not huge. Doesn't mean good stuff isn't happening. Very, very positive things can happen in terms of what we're calling horizontal health. You can be integrating what you've got, which is extremely important. But you're not going up. There's no vertical growth or development occurring. It's very, very rare. The only empirically demonstrated thing to do that is meditation. And it's not to say that other things can't do it, but they haven't been demonstrated to do so. Meditation also, another way to measure it is to take the number of people that are at a particular stage of development in a particular developmental line, like Jane Lovinger. And in her case, what she would call our level six, our integral level on our seven level generic scale, she finds about 2% of the population reaches that stage. And after 4 years of meditation, 38% of people doing it reach that stage. That's another way of measuring what meditation can do. So it's very, very powerful in terms of moving people vertically, in terms of growth and development and evolution. It doesn't mean everything else is going to be made well or happy or whole, but it does mean it can have that effect. It doesn't skip stages either, but it seems to accelerate your growth through these stages. And that's very important. I mean, whatever else it does, there's a lot of evidence that it's doing that. And that's a very significant fact, particularly given what we were talking about earlier, where sort of the ultimate goal is to help people move from egocentric and ethnocentric into world-centric stages of awareness. Then meditation has to be counted as one of the most moral imperatives for human beings to do. It's the only thing that's been demonstrated to move them into higher moral stages. Not as a belief, but as an actual concrete realization. So that's very important as well.
an hour a day for 4 years. So why should I bother after 4 years into year 5, 6, 7, 8?
That's what I thought. I think we should just do 4 years per lifetime and then get recycled.
Well, it's hard and it takes a lot of time.
Well,
and
exactly.
Commitment.
And if there's no evidence, I say stop after 4 years. It's like dusting. The dust never gets worse after 4 years. And just coast, you know. I mean, that's pretty good. Bumped up 2 scales and then go through the Bardo, come back, hit the ground running, you know, do 4 more years, then hit the Riviera. We don't know what else it does. This is the really kind of preliminary look at the research on it. The research is solid. It's been repeated. But we're going to find out all sorts of other things. That we'll find other things that help vertical growth, not just meditation. I'm sure there are other things, although a lot of things have been tried and haven't.
What would you nominate?
A lot of the stuff with brain-mind machines that we were talking about. I don't know that there's been a good study done on, frankly, mind-altering psychedelics. It might be that they would have some impact. My sense is not, however, but that's a question for empirical research. Stuff that's happening with the brain-mind machines is by putting people into theta and delta states quite easily. Again, you still get the effect of it shakes your identification loose because you're sort of plunged into these states of awareness that are then showing you things that ordinarily you wouldn't have access to. And it stretches your mind. It shakes you loose from your identification with whatever stage you're at. So I think that's a prime candidate that we'd want to look at. You still have to stabilize it. You still have to learn how to carry this awareness in your everyday life. And if the brain-mind machines can't do that, then it probably won't stick. One of the reasons that meditation works is you have to learn it yourself. It's an inner technique, a muscle you have to learn to exercise. And once you do that, then you know how to do it. Somebody else isn't doing it. A drug isn't doing it. A therapeutic process. A psychoanalyst is not doing it, etc. You're doing it, and therefore it sticks, it stays with you. But I think we're going to find some other things that could help as well, and it's going to actually be very interesting.
Okay, so we have evidence for what meditation can do over 4 years. Let's just pretend now that you're throwing out some hypotheses of what meditation can do after 20 years.
Right.
What do you think we might be able to show?
I suspect that in several significant developmental lines, including the developmental line of cognition and the developmental line of self and the developmental line of moral development, that it is conceivable you could get the equivalent of enlightenment in this lifetime. In other words, that you could permanently, we'll just use the same simple 7-stage model that we have, that if you start at stage 4 and you meditate conscientiously for 20 or more years, you could conceivably end up more or less at stage 7, which is, again, not the highest in all of time, but the highest for this era. And that would be the equivalent of a permanent, ever-present non-dual awareness. You can have very profound states of non-dual awareness all the way along the line, and ones that are very, very profound and enduring. But you can't have a permanent access or permanent competence until you develop through these stages in a conscious and permanent fashion. And I suspect that could happen to somebody who has all the other factors going for them. It's not just, everything in all the quadrants have to kind of come together. If you're starving, if you're in a war, if you're being tortured, it's very hard to meditate. So it's an all quadrant, all level, all line, all state, all type affair. You really have to arrange those so they're all conducive to growth. You can't just muscle it out on your own. But if you have a precious human body and a favorable circumstance and all those factors sort of fall into place, it's quite conceivable that 25 years of meditation would move you right to the top of whatever line you're looking at.
Okay, so back to how meditation actually works.
Yeah.
Can you explain it?
Sure.
I mean, here I am. I'm sitting on a cushion and I'm following my breath or some similar practice.
Yeah.
How is that? By doing this an hour a day, how is this pushing me up the stages of development?
Anything you can witness strips it from the witness. In other words, when you look at something, you're no longer identified with it. Every time you witness something that's arising, you're taking the position of the transcendental self. You're taking the position of the witness. You're taking the position of this vast, empty mirror mind upon which everything arises. You're taking the position of this vast spaciousness in which everything arises. So meditation, in a sense, remember there are sort of three components. One is the exterior world of form, or earth, and one is the formless heaven, and then there's the union of emptiness and form, or the union of heaven and earth. And meditation strengthens heaven. It strengthens the witness, the emptiness, your capacity to be conscious of things that arise. Now, mostly when we sort of go on about our daily life, we aren't in the position of the witness. We're not this radiant, empty, full, unqualifiable mirror mind or spaciousness. We're identified with some object. We're identified with this body or this mind or this thought or this idea or this want or this desire, which is actually an object arising in my awareness. So I'm not identified with the spaciousness of awareness. I'm identified with a little object. And this little object is hungry, or this little object wants a job, or this little object is angry, and so on. And so I identify with that self-contracted kind of knot, and I use that as something to look at the world with and approach the world with. If I sit down and look at that instead, I've stripped my identity from it. If I'm looking at Ken Wilber, I'm no longer Ken Wilber. Ken Wilber is an object that I, this pure I, is aware of. And the more I can look at Ken Wilber, the less I am Ken Wilber. The more I am this pure I that is my original face, the face I had before the universe was born. Meditation is an exercise of your original face. It's an exercise of that which is the looker or the seer or the feeler or the knower, the pure emptiness in which all these objects arise. And so every time you do that, you strengthen that side. You take a little bit of money out of the samsara bank account and you put it into the nirvana bank. And then when the nirvana bank gets $1 million, you get a satori, and that's really cool. It's like...